Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Father.
We celebrate today, 30th Sunday, in ordinary time. And in our Gospel reading today, we will see two ways of praying, having this conversation with God. Jesus is giving us another parable about tax collector and Pharisee coming to the temple to pray. One of them, the Pharisee, said, "Look, Lord, how righteous I am." And the tax collector said, "Have mercy on me. We are sinners, and we also, as every Sunday, every Mass, at the beginning, we repeat these words, Lord, I am a sinner." Celebrate this Mass in the best way that we ask for forgiveness for all our sins.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus addressed his parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. "O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income." But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, the latter went off justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The very first line of today's gospel reading is that Jesus addressed this parable specifically to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Here in this gospel reading, Jesus addresses human nature, which does not change, has been the same since the beginning of time, since the fall. And to different degrees, we all share in that human nature that has been handed on to us, which is fallen and sinful. And that is the battle, that is the race, that is the race that St. Paul says that he competes and tries to compete well. If we're honest with ourselves, we all can tend towards a little self-righteousness. Even as Catholics, as we believe that it is the one true Holy Mother Catholic Church established by Peter and a succession of popes, we can have sometimes, perhaps, looking at the world and at other religions, a self-righteousness within our hearts, our minds, in our families, in the workplace, in our very pews. As we look around, we can have self-righteousness. It's our battle. Among others. In another gospel, Matthew chapter 2, one of the Pharisees asks Jesus, "Master, which is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus answers him and says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest commandment, and the first." And Christ continues and says, "And the second is like the first. Similar, thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself." Well, you know, it's easy to love God, but not so much at times easy to love our neighbor with the thorns and thistles of, again, our human nature and the sinfulness within ourselves and within humanity and that friction that can occur in human relationships. Nevertheless,
The common thread in today's readings, I would like to point out, is the importance of prayer. The importance of habitual prayer. Not a javelin that we shoot up to God once in a while, and the javelin hopefully falls where we want it to fall because we don't really have a habit. But the importance of habitual prayer in our lives, that communion with God, that line of communication with the Maker that continually wants to remind us of the great nobility that you and I have as heirs of the very face of God. In the very beginning, we are told that we are made in the image of God. So there's something about our face, our human bodies, our existence that reflects the very nature of God. And because of sin, we kind of devolve continually. And with prayer, we must evolve again back to God, the source of everything and of holiness. That is why Paul always talks about the prayer life and the prayer life on earth as a race. I must compete well, that I will have finished the finish line. And that no matter what will befall us, God will be with us. In today's gospel reading, the Pharisee and the tax collector both went to pray. They were both prayerful people. They could have not gone to the temple. They could have not approached God to pray. And it's clear the Pharisee is quite blunt. I am not like the rest of humanity. And he even points says, I'm not like that tax collector. The tax collector, a known sinner that would take some of the taxes that he would collect for himself and rob and steal and hate it because of that, prays, have mercy on me, a sinner. And in the eyes of God, according to the gospel reading, it is not the Pharisee that does all those things, that he fasts, and he also gives, and he prays, and does all these things. It's not him that was justified because of the hypocrisy of his prayer, but it is the sinner that comes to God asking for forgiveness. So my brothers and sisters, to compete well as St. Paul, because we all tend towards pharisaical tendencies. Remember that the gospel is always a mirror, and we see ourselves as the Pharisee, and hopefully we see ourselves as the tax collector, which is elevated by Christ. And that's the battle of life. That is the continual strife and the picking up of ourselves and falling, not once, not twice, not three times, but continually until our dying and last breath. To compete well, we must pray. We must pray often and making it a habit. Prayer, like I said, is like a lifeline, the blood that we must experience to live according to God's ways. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says that prayer is a vital necessity. St. John Chrysostom says that nothing is equal to prayer. For what is impossible, it makes possible, and what is difficult, easy. St. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Without ceasing. Eagerly, with eagerness. We need a regular prayer life. We need the habit of prayer in our lives. I'd like to share with you a modern parable that I came across about prayer. And it goes like this. When God created the 25th hour, is the title. When God created the 25th hour, the angels reported to heaven that many people did not pray anymore. People became so busy trying to catch up with the hectic schedule of everyday life, they wished to have more time so that they could pray. The heavenly council proposed to God that he should understand the predicament of contemporary humanity and simply lengthen the day. If the day would have 25 hours, that additional hour could become the hour of God and of prayer, and then people would pray more. And so God approved the proposal of the council, and another hour was given to make one day with 25 hours. But contrary to expectations, people still did not pray, but used the extra hour for their worldly concerns. What surprised the angels was that those who did use the 25th hour power for prayer were the ones who had already been praying even before God added 1 hour to the day. This led the heavenly council to conclude that prayer is a question of love. They discovered that people do not become prayerful by being given extra time. Those who are not inclined to pray will not find time to pray even if an extra hour is added to the day. But those who love will find time to pray. Those who love. We do what we love, our hobbies, whatever we do, but do we love to pray? Do we love to pray? Do we make prayer part of our lives? When awaking in the morning, many times the first object that a person may look at is his mobile phone or her mobile phone, the computer, the news, instead of perhaps holding his hands and kneeling before God Almighty to help him throughout the day. At a restaurant, perhaps we can or will post a picture of the scrumptious, delicious dish that we're about to eat and post it on Instagram and then forget to pray in Thanksgiving. The distraction of this appendage that we have now, this electronic device. My brothers and sisters, but prayer is not only just for petition of what we need or what we think we need. But prayer actually should be about praise and thanksgiving. That God continues to give us another day, another minute of life, to love Him, to adore Him, to pray to Him, to pray for the world, to allow Him to sanctify us, allow Him to work in us. God knows what we truly need, even before we ask for it. And yet, as a loving Father, a true, tender, loving Father, He loves and wants to hear us come to Him asking for our needs. Fervent and habitual prayer reminds us that God created us as humans in His own image, and we have the stamp of His face, like I said. We pray that our thoughts always be pleasing to Him, and that we not wander from His love, not wander from His embrace. The greatest Mass that we have is the Mass that we come every Sunday and daily, and the prayer of the Our Father that was given to us by Christ Himself, and the angelic salutation, the Hail Mary. But I want to show you one that you've been seeing as Catholics, or even if you're a new Catholic, was introduced to you. And I want to show it to you because I know that you've looked at it, but maybe you haven't looked at it up here, perhaps at times from the altar, but it is the Rosary. The Rosary. This incredible bead and alignment of beads that has been handed on to us for hundreds of years, that if you begin to say it, will transform you. And the beauty of the Rosary, because I hear and I read that sometimes people have difficulty reading, I mean praying, that their mind wanders. And the beauty of the Rosary is that, yes, you may contemplate a mystery, but your mind can wander and you're still saying the beads. And it becomes this habitual prayer. And it can be done in the car, it can be done walking. St. Padre Pio called the Rosary the weapon. And he should know, because he fought many battles with Satan. So my brothers and sisters, let us pray. Let us pray often. Let us make our lives a total offering of ourselves for the good God that wants to give us so much. But if we don't have a line to our Father, he's too loving. He can't break that barrier. Let us kneel, let us pray, and offer God all our thoughts, of our minds, of our hearts, and our souls, that we may understand the great nobility and the gift of eternity that He wants to give us.